And then I'm going to tell you where we're going and how we're going to get there. And it's going to be fun. Stacy's going to hand out in just a minute a card. What we need to do, what I'd like for you to do, is fill this out. It's kind of like taking roll. We still have to tell our convention how many people we had through Bible study and so forth. But also, the main thing, if you have email address and you think I don't know it, if you're not getting a letter from me, especially like this week, make sure I have your email address. Now, if you don't want a letter from me, don't put it on there. But if you do, put it on there so we can contact you and let you know of things that are going on. You're going to find out that as you discover who we are, that the church is going in a direction that you're going to want to be involved and you're going to want to know how to be involved. And that's going to be through email a lot. And so I want you to get that if you can. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Everybody gets one. Real quick, bow your heads with me. Let's pray and ask God to bless this day. I'm excited. What an exciting day. We have a great day today here, and then tonight our youth are leading in Maricopa, and that's going to be awesome, and we've been in prayer for that. Trey's going to be able to speak at that. It's going to be awesome tonight. So we just have a great day in the Lord. So let's bow our heads this morning and pray. Father, be with us today. We love you so much, and we thank you so much, Lord, for all you've done in our lives. And Lord, I've been praying for this day for probably 6-7 months now, and it's here, and I thank you for it. And Father, now as we unpack the things that you've shown us as a church, Lord, I pray that our people will see this and grab this and that we'll catch fire, Lord, and we'll reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ. Father, bless us. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to kind of, this is the first class. It's called Discover Who You Are. And basically, this is all about the next 5 weeks is what does our church look like? Today, I'm going to kind of show you the direction of the church. And then the next few weeks, and it's the only reason I'm standing up here, I want to be down there with you, but I got to use this table as an illustration. I want to use this table to leave a mark on your mind of what's going on. Because as we go over the next few weeks, you're going to see where you fit at this table. Every one of you is at this table. And as I explain the chairs and what they mean, every one of you are going to say, that's my chair. And I'm going to show you, and the leaders of the church are going to show you, how to go to the step of commitment and how to be a church where we're winning the people to the lost. And so that's what this is all about. So today is about who we are as a church, the direction we're going. Now, I wanted to think of an illustration that would help me. So this is it. In seminary, I go to seminary in Scottsdale. And has anybody ever been to the Tempe Marketplace? Anybody ever been to Mojo Yogurt? Ooh, yeah, it's good. I know. Okay, it's awesome yogurt. If you ever go there, tell them I sent you. Maybe I can get one free. But anyway, you go to Mojo Yogurt, and you get this yogurt, and you get fruit all over. It's really good. And then you walk outside, and they have these little shade deals that are really cool looking. And you sit under the shade, and then next to the shade, this big water thing. And the kids run through it, because it's usually hot in Arizona, like it is this week. Can't believe it's still that hot. And the kids run through, and it's just an amazing little shaded area, and it's really pretty. Well, me and about 6 or 7 of the students were sitting there one day, and we weren't ditching. We were on break. And we went over there, and we had our yogurt. We're eating our yogurt. And this little girl walks up, and she's got samples of yogurt. You know, can you picture this? So she walks up to us, and we're in the shade, and there's water, and it's really nice under there, and it's really hot about 15 feet away. And she goes, would you guys like some yogurt? Darren said, I'm full. I mean, I've already got my yogurt. She goes, yeah, but, you know, I'll give you some more. It's free. And I'm like, and all of us connected each other, and you know, seminary kids are starving, as we all are. And we just said, we're full. And so one of the guys said, why don't you walk about 15 feet out in the sun, where in the heat, and there's a lot of people walking by that will just eat that yogurt up. And she looked out there and looked at us, and she went back in the store. She was unwilling to go out in the heat where the people were. And so as I thought about that, and I thought, Lord, what can we do as a church? Because I believe as a church today, God has sent us right in the middle of a hub of people that are out in the heat, walking by, and they're hungry, and they're thirsty, and they're hot, and they don't have any hope. They're worried. But the church today is, it seems like we're afraid to go out to the heat. I think my mic's not working very good. We're afraid to go out in, give people samples of our love. Give people samples of what Jesus has done in our life. Now, John 6:35 says, Jesus himself says, I am am the bread of life. And so what I want to show you is as we discover who we are, is that this is a table and this represents the church. I want you to think about this as I go through this, okay? And I want you to think about the people in your life right now that are just outside in the heat, just outside of what God wants in their life, just outside of what God is doing in this world, and they need a sample of what Jesus is doing. I want you to think through. All right. Here's the main point of this class. If you have anything, write this down. Our challenge as a local church is this. This is what God has shown me. Our challenge as a local church is to feed people. Everybody, I'd like you to say that with me. To feed people. To feed people. We've got to learn to feed people. That's our challenge. Okay? So, I want you to think of these two things for the next 5 weeks. Number one, we are to build believers. And number two, serve explorers. I did a whole series the last whole year about exploring and then connecting to God and then connecting to God and then being committed to God. That's the steps. Here at this church, this table, our church's goal is to build believers, those who already know Christ, build them more, and to serve the explorer, to get the people that are out in the heat to come under the shade and be refreshed by God's Word. Okay? So that's who we are. Now, when I say that, that means when we have staff meetings, when I meet with the deacons, when I meet with the leaders and the Bible school teachers, and soon the small group leaders that are going to be in homes, I want them to understand we have to build believers and serve explorers. Now, quickly, I want to give you a brief overview of what we've done. We have like John Williams' class. That's believers' class. That class builds believers. They go deep into the Bible. John's got his doctorate of theology, and they build believers. Okay? In just a minute, I'm going to show you these chairs that'll fit that. We also have Vic Castanelli, which is doing the class, what I would say, is kind of both. I think Vic not only builds believers, but really in Vic's class that we have set up here, he also opens the door so that we can serve the explorer. Now I'm gonna identify what the explorer looks like in just a minute. And then with Daniel's class, it's kind of a build believers class as well, and kind of a serve explorers class. It's you have to have somewhat of a knowledge to build a foundation to go to that class of God. But that's good. But you gotta remember, we're the table and we're the church, and we gotta build believers and serve explorers. This will come together in just a second for you. All right? Now, in discovering who we are, this is one of the most important things I can tell you. This is our table, and we're going to call it our church, okay? Has anybody here ever invited anybody over for dinner? Hopefully you got. And you've done that. You've invited people over. What are some of the steps that you do to invite somebody over to have dinner? Talk to me. You call them. Who said that? All right? You call them. All right? What's that? Text them. We don't call anymore. Hey, we're in a new world, you know. So Facebook them. Somebody told me the other day that their son had 4,000 minutes of texting, or 4,000 texts, and like 20 minutes of calls. I'm like, does he have any thumbs? All right. And that's probably most of you kids. Is that about right? I mean, you guys text? Okay. You Facebook them, you text them, you call them. And so when you call them and Facebook and textbook them, you say, well, hey, will you come over and eat? Right? And when you do that, you pick out a day and a time, correct? And then, do you ever ask this? What do you like or dislike? You ever do you do that, guest? Do you say, hey, what do you like to eat? What if you come over and you have a great big steak prime rib and they're vegetarians? Not so good, right? Yeah, it's not so good. Then you get to eat better and they get to sit and watch you. You ask what they like. And then, not only that, here's the part I hate about having people come over, and maybe you'll agree. As soon as I tell the wife, hey, I got so-and-so coming over, after her eyes go that big and then they come back down to where she's legible again, we have to start cleaning. Amen? Or oh me, right? That's right. And I'm like, it looks good to me. I mean, they're just like us. They don't care what this house looks like. You know, when people come over to eat, she's even up on top of the curtain rails with the little thing. And I'm like, they're not going to look up there, I promise. That's why we don't have anybody over to eat. I can't take it. But anyway, no, out to eat is better, right? All right. And so I want you to think about that as a church and discovering who we are. See, we have people from all walks of life that are coming in here. We don't know who's going to come in these doors. And we have to be ready for the vegetarian, the guy that only likes meat. And we also have to clean and we have to be ready. And as a staff, we work very hard to prepare the meal. The meal is the bread of life. The meal is what we feed the people about God. Now, that's my job, and that's what I want you to hear today. We are a church that's pastor-led. I'm the pastor, so I'm the chef. Okay? I like Ed Young teaches a leadership thing that I went to, and he calls us as pastors the dudes with the food. All right? I'm the dude with the food. In other words, it's my job to make sure that this table is prepared, that not just physically clean, but that the leaders and the people that are partaking and getting ready for you to come see our meal and partake in our meal, not just see it, but have a part of this table, we have to make sure that our lives are holy and that we're ready to serve you. Because we want to build believers and serve explorers, correct? That's what we want to do. So the pastor-led church is, and it's kind of, this is kind of my chair. And so out of these chairs, you're going to see three more that you'll fit into. This is my chair. We're pastor-led, meaning I'm not a dictator and I'm not a mean guy. Hopefully you know that by now. But it's my job, my son said something, I think, but it's my job to be the chef, to prepare the meal, to prepare the Word of God. The meal is the Word of God, so that the people that are out in the heat and the people with their doctorate degree of theology can sit here and have a day where they leave. This is a great day in the Lord. Does that make sense? That's who we are. Now, some churches are not pastor-led, they're committee-led. And the committee tells the pastor what to preach or what to do or what all the stuff. And then he does that. And that's okay, too. But here, we're pastor-led. So this is this chair. And that's just how we're set up. So, I'm Jeff, and the food is the Word. And we are also called, not only, like I said, to build believers, but to serve explorers. I want to explain who those people are. Okay, let me talk about this. What is an explorer? To me, an explorer is a person that is a sinner, but it's also a person that many times I've found out since I've been pastor, many times it's a person that's been brought up in the church. And many times it's a person that has somewhat of a biblical understanding. Me and the chairman of the deacons, just this, we've met a guy that has a biblical understanding, but it's not a correct biblical understanding, but he knows how to find verses in Scripture in the Bible. And so, many times this explorer is somebody that just has never, and here's what it is in fact, somebody that has never crossed over and surrendered their life and have a personal relationship with Christ. Many people know who God is, but those who have a personal relationship with Christ are who we're trying to get them. We're trying to get people to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Many people are exploring, but we want them to have that. So, let me explain these chairs. This chair right here is a mature believer, a person that has grown up in the church maybe, or maybe just a few weeks ago. I know a person in here I won't embarrass right now that just got saved a few weeks ago that's on fire. People to this church has given more samples of God's love, the bread of life, to more people that have come and darkened the doors of our church than most people here today. And because that person's on fire and they're giving samples of God's love out in the heat. This is the mature believer. Now, this person right here is the baby believer. Every year since we've started, we've baptized between 35 and 40 people. So we have a lot of baby believers in our congregation. A lot of people are sitting in this chair in our church today. And then this chair would be the sinner. Now, I don't want to be crude, but this chair is very important because this is who we're trying to reach as well. We want to make sure the mature believer is being fed. We want to grow the baby Christian to be fed. But this is the person we want to lead to a personal relationship so that they don't have to spend eternity in hell. This person right here, I just want to let you know, we love this person here. And me as your pastor, and I am more attracted to this chair, and hope you don't hurt, than these two. I love these two to death. Without them, I cannot do anything. But God has gifted me with evangelism to reach this person. This person is the person that maybe snorts cocaine on the weekend or during the week. This person is maybe the person that's having an affair on his wife or a wife on her husband. This person is a person that is lying and cheating on everything they do. this person has a lot of stuff going on in their life, this sinner, this person that doesn't have a relationship with Christ because he doesn't know right from wrong. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:14 and 2:18 that this person, because they do not have the Holy Spirit in them, does not understand what's right and wrong. Does not understand, and things that are right and wrong are all but foolishness to them. So they're out chasing what they shouldn't chase and doing things they shouldn't do. But our church needs to have a table. The church needs to be ready to reach this person. And so with that, I want to keep going. And now that you see these chairs, all of us are either a mature believer, a baby believer, or we don't have a relationship with Christ. We're doing things that don't honor God. All of us in this room are one of these three chairs. And that's what we're going to be talking about, who we are. Okay? So, how do we as a church, if I'm the pastor and I'm here, and these chairs are full of the people I've just explained, how do we prepare the meal that will reach all three of those people? That's what I want to talk about on who we are. How do me, Stacy, Shannon, and Heather, and the chairman of deacons and all the Bible the study leaders, the small group leaders, how do we prepare a meal that will be sufficient to feed all three people? That's my challenge. Jeff, maybe get me some new batteries. I don't know what it is. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to show you who you are and what God has done to help you serve the Explorer. So I want to do two things as a believer, and I want to show you what you got to do, what you must do, or I can't use a big enough word, what you need to do to serve the Explorer. Okay? So that's what we got. First, here's how we do it. Here's how we prepare the meal. We pray. Okay? We pray. We meet as a staff and we pray. We email and text each other and pray. We call each other on the phone and we pray. We must pray, because if we don't pray, we'll be unable to deliver a compelling meal. Let me ask a dumb question. Don't blame me, I guess. I don't know how to say this. Have you ever fallen asleep at church, but not this church? Let's put it that way. All right. We need to deliver a compelling meal where you don't sleep. And when you leave out of here, you're giving out samples of what God just did to you to other people. In the heat. All right? That's what we're talking about. The bread of life. All right. I've already talked to you about having people over to eat. I want to explain another side of that. I've noticed with my wife, when we invite somebody over, you know, she kind of goes crazy and hysterical and everything, and then we have the meal and everything's great. But I noticed the other day, Lisa prepared the meal, and she didn't do all that just to feed me and the kids. How about you? Completely redo the whole house? You know, curtains and all that. But when it's your own family, you just kind of say, here it is, and there's knives, and then she says, eat, right? But when we bring people over, we set out the china and all the stuff that we use once a year. Well, I want to prepare the meal to reach our community. We're doing it with style, and it's like we're inviting guests. We could just paper and plastic it if we wanted to and kind of have a ho-hum service. But we strive to have the best service. That's why we pray and we ask God to bless us. Now, not everything always goes right. Not the sermons aren't always great. Sometimes I go home and I feel like I laid an egg. Don't amen that. Sometimes our music doesn't go the way we want it to, and we work on that. But the whole essential thing is that as long as we deliver the meal, the word, in a compelling and innovative way, we feel like we've done that. So, are we going soft? I made myself a question. Are we going soft when we don't prepare a meal in the correct way? In other words, as a church, like you, when you invite somebody over, because we plan and pray so hard, what does that mean? I think it means this. I want you to think about this. When we prepare the meal to reach these three chairs, we are very strategic, we are trying to be smart, and we're trying to be good hosts. That's why we have, like Vic's class, A Call to Joy. A Call to Joy is a class where a new believer can come in, or even a believer, like Vic explained to me the other day, a believer that has been believing for many years but just kind of has lost the focus. They can come back and it's a strategy and it's a smart way and it's a way to pick back up or start brand new a walk with Christ. It's a meal that can go to either the sinner or the mature Christian. Smart how we do things. As we start our home groups, after this next 5 weeks, we're going to be starting groups in homes. We're going to have a fireproof group where married couples about getting married or anybody can go to and learn how to be smart about their marriage through God's Word. Not through what Dr. Phil says, but what God's Word says. We have classes that are going to be starting as well. I'll just grab this. Let me turn this one off. How's that? That's better. Now I'm back there talking instead of up there. That's weird. All right. I thought it was weird. As we start all these other classes, we have to keep asking ourselves, why? To build believers and serve the explorers. Who we are at Santan Heights Church is we want to be a church that builds believers and serves explorers. I want you to think back of the sermons we've done lately, if you've been here a while. You'll see that the series that we do, I'm always trying to build believers, and I pray that it's to reach and serve explorers. Now we're going through 2 Corinthians, and that's a great book that builds believers and serves explorers. It shows them that there's hope out there. And so that's why we do what we do. We also I'm convinced that we have to do this. We can't just continually feed the people that are already full, like at Mojo Yogurt. We have to reach out and reach those people. We have to step out into the heat, into the elements, and serve the bread of life to those who are walking by and perishing. So the next 5 weeks is going to be a time as you discover who we are, discover who you are, develop that, and then deploy that. Give out samples of the bread of life to everybody that God brings in front of you. That's what this is about. Here at Santan Heights, discovering who we are, we think a lot about the family. And this is our family. We think a lot about the family. We think about those whose lives are falling apart right now. This week alone, we've prayed about marriages in our congregation that are hanging by a thread. We think about the single adult who's struggling with loneliness and isolation. We also think about those who are like college and youth area people that are worried maybe about their future and the direction that God's going in their life. Here we think about all these things and we try to help people. We also think about, lately, this has been on my mind, I've had a few things happen. We think about the student or the adult, both, who are contemplating ending their lives. That's a big issue that I deal with now weekly. As you know, in Gilbert last week that happened with a student. And so that's what we have to think about here. We think about all those people. And we think about all those people being at the table. And we think about the bread that we're going to give them, the Word of God, and how that's going to help them. So here we think about not only the people at the table, but we're pastor-led. I just want to make sure you get that, because so many don't hear me say that. We're pastor-led. God is the God of this church. I'm just the shepherd. And then we all go together and we serve the explorers. And we find out what God has gifted us in. We find out what supernaturally God has gifted us in. And we go do that. I know Don and his wife went to Place Ministries this week. And then that's going to be a part of this too. Once we know our gift, how do we use that to reach people? I'm looking out. It's kind of hard to see you guys. Are the powers here? I don't see them. Oh, they're at VBS. Everywhere you go, they just opened up a new business. Everywhere you go, you see their business advertised. I'm going to tell them their job here is to help us advertise like they advertise. It's unbelievable. Everywhere I go, I had Mexican food the other day. There's their sign. I went in to get a yogurt. There's their sign. Everywhere you go. I want to show you guys what God has given you to help serve explorers. Everybody's got a job here, and everybody can make a huge difference in someone's life to build believers and serve explorers, okay? And that's the deal. I got another question. Are you out in the heat handing out samples of God's love? I'm going to ask that a lot over the next 5 weeks. Are you inviting other people to come to the mill. Now, I know there's a lot of thoughts out there, but let me make it straight who we are. We are a church that Sunday is our big day. It just is. We don't have our own place yet. We don't have our own buildings yet. This is it. Sunday is the day for us. And so when if you call me tomorrow morning and say, Billy, hey, what's going on in your mind? I'm going to say Sunday's coming. Or if you call me Friday, I'm going to say Sunday's coming. Sunday is our big day. Sunday is the day where we clean all week so that the meal and we cook and we do everything in a compelling way. Sunday is the day we deliver our meal. But it's your job to help me during the week to get out in the heat and hand out samples of God's love so that people will come to the meal. Does that make sense? Hope you get that. Who we are is we're pastor-led, but we're driven by the people in our church. You guys have to help me get people to come to the meal. Okay? Now, where's this meal start? And I want to get this point across because I think that, you know, we have the cream of the crop here today. I know that. But the meal starts in the parking lot. It starts from when the second somebody pulls up, right then, that's when the meal starts. And there's a few people in here that I know that are kind of new that I'm going to ask in the next few weeks if they'll share and be honest with us what they felt as soon as they pulled into our parking lot. And a couple of you are here. I'll be getting with you on that. But the meal starts in the parking lot. And as they walk in, what they see and what's going on around here, that's when the meal starts. It's not only when I get up to preach. And so many of you are sitting there today, and you have a great gift that we need you to discover that so you can help us serve a great meal. I see all these teenage people, young people. You guys are incredible with computers. I would love for you guys to help. I'm going to ask, you know, Carrie's back there and Jeff's back there. As we go, I'm going to ask for 10 people to step up and help in the back to help do all the media where Carrie can just push buttons and be in charge of the things, but has help. Those guys work so hard back there, no one's ever helped them in 5 years. They've done it all. And Randy does sound too. There's guys here that can help. And all kinds of things. There's people that can help make this place look good. There's so many things that you can do to help serve this meal. Your job is not just to come in and eat. It's to help prepare the meal. All right? And next week I'm going to share a whole lot more about that. About if you just come here to eat, what happens to you. If you never exercise, that's next week. You know, they all tell us stay on a good diet and exercise. Okay? We can't just eat. We have to exercise. That's next week. All right. Now, 4 weeks ago now, I was in Alaska, and I was on a trail back in the middle of nowhere, and I was on a mule. And I was coming out and checking a trail and going back into another trail trying to find the group of people that we were looking for. And two biologists met me on the trail, and they were walking, and they had sticks, and they had backpacks. And I'm thinking, you guys are crazy because there's bears everywhere. At least I'm on a mule where I can, you know, giddy up and get out of there if I have to. And I had a big gun, and they didn't have a gun. They had a shovel. And I'm going, you guys are crazy. And they said, Billy, I told my name. They said, can we interview you and ask you what you've seen? Because I'd been out there a week. Absolutely. So I got off the mule, and I got to talking to them. And I kind of counted the bears every day, and I saw about 15 bears a day. Saw about 25, 30 caribou a day, 3 or 4 moose a day. And then all kinds of little critters. And they wanted to know everything, what kind of plants I'd seen. I said, I don't know your plants, and they were showing me. And I was identifying them. After we got done, I say all that to say this. I asked them, I said, why are you asking me all this? And they said, Billy, because our job is to make sure that this ecosystem, this trail, is healthy. So as soon as someone starts saying stuff like that, God, as a preacher, God makes a preacher start going, okay, here comes an illustration. I said, what makes an ecosystem biological ecosystem healthy? He said three things. Look, I got three chairs. He said, number one, you have to have 1/3 predator, the hunter, 1/3 the hunted, and the other 1/3 the sustainer for the other 2. And he said, that's healthy. And I thought, you know, that makes a healthy church. And as I go on discover who we are, I'm going to change direction a little bit today. Right now, I want you to think in your mind. Our church, are we healthy? Do we have 1/3 bad people? We'll just call them bad, just sinners. We're all there. We've all been there. But do we have 1/3 sinners, 1/3 baby Christians, and 1/3 mature Christians? I want you to think about that. Don't answer it out loud, but answer it in your mind. If we're going to be a healthy church, we have to have thirds. I believe that's very true. I've read my Bible so many times, I think that's real clear. that we have to be a church that has each of these chairs one-third full. And that makes us a healthy church. And so, in discovering who we are, the mature Christian here invites sinners. The mature Christian is handing out samples of God's love, and this guy shows up at church. And because this guy shows up at church, hopefully he's fed the bread of life and the word reaches him, and he becomes into that chair. And then that chair goes into this chair and adds to the mature Christians. That means these two need to be adding. And it always does, because as the mature Christian gets here, then the person that was there is handing out the bread of hope and of God's love, and more sinners come. Do you see that? And then as that chair grows, and that chair grows. That's a healthy church. And we have to work very hard to get that. We have to work very hard. And how we do that is that we have to feed a full, complete meal. We have to give the word through our Bible teachers, our small group leaders, our staff, our deacons, our pastors. We have to serve a beautiful meal, people. And if we don't, then these chairs stop growing. Then we're unhealthy. Unhealthy things die. Okay? That's just what it is. One third. Christian, I'm going to ask you a question right now. If you're here and you say you're a Christian, what part are you playing in this process? Okay? Are you handing out samples, listen to me, to hungry people? Now I'm going to ask you a question again. Are you handing out samples of God's love to hungry people? I want you to think right now in your brain. Right now, there's people popping in your brain. Neighbors, co-workers, family, friends, new people you've just met. They're popping in your mind, and that's God telling you, that's people he's put there for you to hand out a sample of his love. That's what that is. And if you don't act on that, it doesn't keep us healthy. If you don't act on that, you stay in the baby chair forever, and you never get to move to the mature chair. Okay? Hope that makes sense to you. Do something about that. Pray that God would give you an opportunity to give those samples of God's love to those people that have popped up into your brain today. As we discover who we are, I want you to realize who you are. Okay? Now, we work like crazy. I'm going to tell you this again. We work like crazy as a staff to prepare the food. You also can help me prepare that food through your giftedness that God has given you. Some of you out here today, I look out here. A lot of you can help with that process. And we'll plug you into that over the next few weeks, and you're going to see how. The food that we serve on Sunday, because we're all about on Sunday, is the ultimate presentation. It's the big meal. Now, I ask you that are here today to pray, and I ask you, are you praying for the weekend? Do you pray for us on Sunday? Do you pray that the meal that we serve will be an excellent meal that will reach people for Christ? Do you pray that the meal that we talk about as a church will reach and help the person that's mature even grow more? I ask you today to specifically pray for us as we serve this big meal every Sunday. All right? All right. We do work hard to be creative, compelling, I wrote some notes, and innovative to reach people and to build believers, to serve explorers and to reach believers. Okay? John 21:18, Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Hear me when I say this. Who we are at Santan is this. We are here to feed his sheep. We are here not only me to feed through the word, but you as well. Our Bible study teachers work hard to feed the sheep. They work hard to give a compelling, innovative message to feed the sheep. And we pray and work hard to do that. I thought of an illustration. I'll share a little bit with you. I could get up here and speak Christianese. I can talk seminary talk, and none of you guys would get it. You know, I could talk about the dispensation of the existentialism, and we could talk about that all day. And I could talk about, you know, the amanuenses of the Bible, and you would say, okay, what's that? I could talk that way, but we don't do that here. We try to feed the sheep at a level they can get it. We try to teach our people, and we're going to have training. John Williams is going to help us train you that want to teach how to deliver this meal. Okay? If you go through Vic's class, A Call to Joy, you're going to see that it's all about the meal, Vic. It's all about what I can do to go from that chair to that chair to that chair. If you go to Dan's class, you're going to see the history of people that have gone from that chair to that chair to that chair. And as we open up many, many more classes and things during the week, you're going to have all kinds of attempts to get to this chair. The youth are growing through the journey. They're reaching people for Christ. The children this week are in Vacation Bible School, talking about the Boomerang Express in Australia, to get them from a sinner to realize a baby Christian to be a mature Christian. Everything we do here is about the meal. Everything we do here is about the Word of God. That's who we are. We're not about traditions. We're not about anything that, well, they used to do it like that over here. We're about preparing a meal to reach the people not in the shade that already have their yogurt, but the ones that are out in the heat, dying and going to hell. That's what we're about here. That's what we're about here. I'm trying to say this gently. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about what God wants us to do. Amen? It's not about, well, I came to this church so I could run this. And now you won't let me run this, so I'm going to leave. If you guys knew how many times that happened, you would cry for me. It's not about you. It's about reaching the people in the heat that are dying and going to hell. That's what we're an evangelistic church. Okay? That's what we are. And we need to train you and show you that that's what we are. And we are doing that. Okay? So that's where we're at. Matthew 9:37. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Here, I want to show you that we do have a work ethic. We have a work ethic in discovering who we are. We invite people. We pray for people. We have preparation for people, and we step up for people. That's what we want to be about. That's what we ask you as members and new people to our church and people that have been here a long time. That's what we're about. So, I want to talk about the presentation of the Word, how we do it here. Because if you don't know who we are, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, where do you go to church? And you go, well, I go over to Santan. And then they say, well, what's it like there? Anybody that ever happened to? What's it like at Santan? I want you to be able to share with them the presentation that we do. And here's what it would be like. So when we serve the food, we have an understanding of who we're serving it to. We want people to know how to receive the food so that they can build on their life, so that they can grow where they can serve explorers. It's not a church about, we're only going to feed the mature believers and we're only going to be together and huddle up and pray that God would come tomorrow and take us all away. That's not who we are. We're a church that we want to become mature believers so that we can fill that chair of the dying, lost sinner, hell-bound sinner. We're about reaching them. That's just who we are. That's how God made me. It's just how we are. And that is who we are. Okay. I want to kind of talk a little bit about the diet-driven church. I said, God, you know, we're going to break up into thirds, and what do you want? You know, what's this look like? And God has shown me very powerfully this, that many churches today, and sometimes I fall into this, are diet-driven. This is the bread of life. This is the Word. This is the best thing in the world. But many churches, this is all they do is eat the Word. Man, they have Bible studies and they get into it and they just eat it up. It's so good. And then they go away for a couple days, and then on Wednesday night they open it back up and they eat it up. Man, they read Ezekiel and it just, wow. And then they put it away. And then they come back on Sunday and they open it up. I'll just open another one. They go to Matthew and they talk about the Sermon on the Mount. And it's like, man, what a meal. And here's how they are. They're sitting like this at the table, and they're on a diet of the Word, which, don't get me wrong, is awesome. But pretty soon, they're getting so fat. They're holding it out here like this, setting it on their belly, right? They're still eating the Word, and it's awesome. But they never push away and go do the Word. They hear it, they see it, they eat it, they eat it, they eat it, they eat it. They never push away and go do it, exercise. And my fear is today that we have a lot of churches that are diet-driven churches. They define Scripture, and it's awesome, but they never exercise. Here, who we are is a church that pushes away after we've been fed to go give out samples of God's love. Are you with me? And if we've lacked anything, it is that. I mean, I love to study God's Word. I'm guilty. I can sit at home all day and read it. But people, I'm asking you today to start a new trend in your life where you're fed. You're going to hear a sermon today that's way out of my box that God has said, Billy, you got to do it. And I'm like, okay, you're going to make me. It's going to be tough. But we need to push away from the table of what we've learned and go share it with those out there that are dying and going to hell. That's who we are. They're going to look one day at Santan Heights Church and say, that's a church that wasn't afraid to give a compelling and innovative message. That's a church that wasn't afraid to go and build and reach and teach people for Christ. It's a church that's not afraid to push away and go do what God has promised them that He would do. A diet-driven church only eats the Word, and they never push away. That's not who we are. So I ask another question. Just basics this morning of who we are. How do we build believers? Well, we bring them to the table, and we feed them the Word of God in a powerful, compelling way. And they consume the bread of life. And see, I want to do a whole sermon here real soon on John chapter 6 and chapter 15. We can give you the bread and you can go, that's pretty good. Or we can give you the bread and you can consume it and it can become in you and a part of you. And my fear is that many of us today are tasting the bread. They're hearing an amazing thing in the youth, an amazing thing in their Bible study classes, amazing things from the Scriptures, but they're only just kind of barely getting a taste of it, and they're not becoming what it is. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. People, when He said that back in that day, they got it. We don't get it. And we need to step up to the table and build these believers to where the bread of life is a part of them, not just, you know, getting fat on it. Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. But after we feed them, they go out and reach sinners. That's where the hard road is, people, who we are. How many of us have told someone about Jesus Christ? How many of us have at least invited someone to the table? And that's who we are. I'm asking you as the people of this church just to get them to the table. And then your leaders, as you look around, we'll get them to there through the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking you to go out and do the whole Roman road. I wish you could, but I'm not telling you have to do that. I'm telling you, if you'll just give somebody a sample and say, you know what, here's what I used to be and here's what I am now, and it's because of the bread of life, it's because of God's Word, and I can take you to a place where I heard about that. Will you come and set them down in the chair? That's all I'm asking for you right now. And then as we, over the next few weeks, you're going to see that God has given you a way to not only get them there, but to there and to there. You just don't know it yet. Because we've been afraid to unpack that. Or we've been too busy. I'm not sure what it is. But in discovering who we are, we're not only diet-driven, but we exercise. That's who we are. Okay? Push away from the table. Serve the church. Serve explorers. Then the explorers come to the table, and then they get fed, and then they go out, and it's a beautiful process. That's who we are. That's who we are. Diet-only driven churches really never reach very many people. I've studied this. I've asked pastors, written letters to them and said, you know, where are you at? I've asked pastors that have grown explosive churches how they did it. And then I've looked at pastors that have failed churches, and I've looked how they did it. The diet-driven churches never reach a lot of people because they all just sit here and eat until they can't see their feet, and they never push away. We're not that. We're just not, and we can't be. We're going to be a church to reach people, okay? So we are a diet-driven church, but we're also an exercise church. And we will equip you over the next 4 or 5 weeks, listen to me, that you'll be able to push away from the table and give out a sample of God's love. We commit to you to that. You will be able to do that, okay? We invite people. We prepare the food. We present the food to those that come right before God in a creative and compelling way. And we speak to the chairs. Bible study leaders that are here this morning, deacons, anybody that serves, anybody that wants to serve. Who we are at Santan is we speak to the sinner, to the baby Christian, and to the mature Christian. That's who we are. All right? Now, before I go any farther, I want to ask a couple questions. Or I want you to ask me questions. What questions do you have about who we are at Santan? Do you have any questions? Don't be afraid. Go family at the table. Who are we? Right? Any questions? Come on, somebody. Nobody? Give you time to think. Okay, let me share a few things that are critical to you. We believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. That's who we are. We believe that the bread that we serve comes right from the Holy Spirit of God. We believe everything in here, from cover to cover. Okay, that's who we are. We also believe, you'll see, in the Lord's Supper. We believe that that's something that we must do. We don't do it on a scheduled time. We do it when the Spirit leads us. But we do it about once a quarter or so. And we believe that that's a representation of God's body and God's blood that died for us. We believe in baptism. Now let me share a little bit about baptism. We believe that if you were baptized as a baby, or if you were baptized before you really knew what you were doing, you need to do it again. In other words, we believe that when you're baptized, it needs to be because you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and you're humbled in spirit. You're under like Christ died, and you're raised again to walk in a new life. A new life. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. If you haven't done it correctly on the right side of the cross, you should do that. And we believe in believer's baptism. Okay? Just, we don't believe in sprinkling. Never says that. And that's just who we are. Our doctrines are available on the Santan Heights website. We believe that Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, was born of a virgin, walked on this earth, died, resurrected, and gained victory over our sin so that you and me could become Christians. That's the gospel. We believe that. We don't believe that Jesus was the brother of anybody, as far as like Satan and some of the other religions believe. We don't believe that. We believe God. We believe God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. That's called the Trinity. And we believe that. Okay? That's who we are. But we also believe that God can change this person's life that's a sinner, bound, hellbound, into that chair. We believe that. In other words, we don't believe that you're either going to be here or there and you don't have any choice. We don't believe that. We believe that you can go from here to there. Everybody has that chance if they would only receive Christ. Okay? Stacy, what are a few other things that we talked about? Questions that maybe a youth type person might have. I want to make sure we kind of set the table here. Okay. We have deacons and we have elders. We're growing that. That's something that we haven't done very well at, but we are doing. Because we realize that everybody is equipped to help reach people to get to these chairs. But hear me. It's about the church, the table, and it's about the people that are sitting around the table. That's what we're about. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we do Vacation Bible School, like I said. That's why we go to camp. That's why we do what we do. That's why, hear me when I say this, we're going to start small groups. People, if we do this correctly, this building's not going to be adequate enough just one day a week to meet. So as we discover who we are, we're going to need to meet in some of y'all's homes during the week to be fed. Once a week's not enough. And so we need to be fed and fed and fed and fed so that we can push away and go do and go do and go do and go do. That's the key. And so as God prompts you to open your house to a study, and you don't even have to be the leader of that study. You can open your home and we'll put leaders in there to lead the studies. But that's what we got to do. We got to go. Stacy, did you have something? what it is to have a relationship with Christ. And that's what we're about. What is it to get to this chair? Okay? Relationship with Christ consists of opening your heart to Christ and receiving Christ. Saying, Christ, I want to become a partner with you and receive you into my life. And surrender my life and follow God, no matter what God says to go, do, and where and when and why, to be totally committed to God. So a relationship with God works like this. I wake up in the morning and I say, okay, God, this is your day. What do you want to do? Here I am, Lord, send me. And as you go through your walk, it's not a carnal walk or a flesh walk, but it's here I am, Lord, send me walk. And it's a relationship with God. Everything you do, you're just talking to God like he's your best friend because he is your best friend. And I'm bringing that down to a level where everybody understands that today. I could use big Christianese words, but it's just about having God number one in your life with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, doing what God wants you to do. And folks, when we get there, we're in that chair and these people are watching us. Because the world is watching to see a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through Christ's true church. And the true church is you and me. So everybody that sits in this chair is being watched by everybody. And how we do and what we do fills up these chairs. Because if we only get to this chair, and I'm going to show you another example. If I get to the mature believer chair, and I'm so mature that, you know, all I can do is do this, have a diet of the word, and I only look right here, I'm not really a mature Christian. A mature Christian's chair would be something like this. That's what a mature Christian would do. See the difference? He's looking out into the heat so that he can fill that chair. We have to always be careful that we don't only focus right here. We got to look out there where they are to get them to that chair. And by the way, this chair, we've learned, Stacy, they don't just come running. They're not. I'm looking out. You know what? I don't see them out there yet. We got to go get them. They're not dying to come in here because they've only seen samples of, you know, churches that are diet-driven. They never go out. And so they're saying out there in the world, what can they do for me? They've got nothing for me. They don't understand it. They don't understand that I lust and chase women or men or whatever. They don't understand it at the church. No, we do understand that. It's sin. And there's a place for you to become a Christian and then become mature and get over that. They don't think that we get that because we only look right here. We never turn our chairs out and look out. We just look in. It's pretty safe in here. We got to get our guardian angels to... we got to shake them up a little bit. They're going, you're going to do that? Wow, cool. You know, wake them up. We got to go out and get them. Any other questions? Go ahead. Good question. In other words, when we pray, I think this is what you're asking, when we pray to receive Christ, we come to a point, usually it's a situation in our life where we say, you know, we got to have Christ. And the Holy Spirit, he's always knocking, John 6:44. And when we receive Christ, he comes into our life. And at that point when he comes into our life, we go to that chair. We're an immature baby Christian. We need to be fed. I think what you're asking is as a church, what do we do for that person? Oh, okay. Well, okay. Right. Okay. Well, I was 11 years old, pretty good kid, sat on the left-hand side over there at the church I went to. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I had a gap in my heart that wasn't being fulfilled. I knew that there was things in my life I didn't understand. I knew that I didn't have any love or hope and joy. And I didn't know why I didn't. And then when Christ came into my life, I felt Christ say, Billy, here I am, and I received him. I said, Lord, I receive you into my life. And at that point in my life, suddenly out of nowhere, I knew what joy and love and hope was. And that's what happens to you. When you receive Christ, you still have this flesh body, and you still might yearn to do things that you used to do when you were carnal. But when the Spirit comes in, you all of a sudden have this conviction, not a condemnation. You have a conviction of, ooh, I don't and shouldn't do that. And you ask God, and God will give you the health and the ways and the strength to overcome those things that you used to do, and now you're going another direction because the Holy Spirit indwells in you when you receive Christ. So that gap that was empty with, some people use alcohol, some people use drugs, some people use whatever to fill that gap. When you put the Holy Spirit in there, when you receive Christ, as I did when I was 11, now you have a conviction and you have a guide. The Bible says in John 16:13, that when you receive the Spirit, at that moment, the Spirit will reveal to you all things that are true and also show you things to come in your life. Now, that's kind of a heavy scripture, but what it says is that conviction, Donna, that gets in you once you receive Christ, He'll guide you to what's right. And what's right is to be a mature Christian, studying the Word, exercising, in other words, going out and bringing people to that. That's what we're here for. We are God's hands and arms and feet, and that's what God does. See, I want to explain this, and me and Donna talked about this the other day. God works in amazing ways, and He usually works in three ways. This is what I've seen throughout the whole Bible. I'm just going to share this with you real quick, and then we'll be finished. Because in discovering who we are, God works in three ways. If God, I'm just going to use the illustration I used, Donna, with you. And I think I shared this with the men. Mike, you're sitting in the front row, so you're a target for me today, all right? All right. Let's say that Mike is sitting right there right now, and Mike needs a $100 bill. I'm just going to use easy numbers so that the kids can get this. Mike needs $100. Don't know, just needs $100. That's illustration purposes only. Well, God works in three ways. God could divide the roof right there, hover over if He wanted to, and drop a $100 bill, and it'd land right on your lap. You'd go, wow, praise the Lord, right? He could do that because God can do anything, guys. Does God usually do that? No. God could send an angel from heaven, disguise him to look like one of us, and hand you a $100 bill. Could God do that? Yeah, and God did that a couple times in the Bible. And God might work that way a little bit, but it's unusual, right? Or God could use one of you that's in this room right now, and He could say to you, hey, I want you to go to Mike and give him a $100 bill. Now, does God work that way? Yeah, look at Mike. That's right. That's how God works. That's how God works. It's called the holy nudge is what I call it. And so what we need to do, Donna, when we receive the Holy Spirit, if we'll let God use us, He'll use us. But so many of us today, because of the world we're in, and I'm going to, I hate blaming the world, but it is. We're in the culture of the world we're in. God says, hey, Billy, I need you just for some odd reason. I want you to go hand the $100 bill over to Mike. And you're going, well, here's what I always say. What's he going to do with it? Why does he need it? How am I going to get it? And then by then, God's already left me and gone to somebody else and nudged them. And then by then, I've lost my blessing. He's lost his blessing. But when we receive the Holy Spirit and we discover who we are as a people, when we get that holy nudge, it's not just a $100 bill. It might be that person over there needs to be hugged because they're at the edge of losing everything in their life and maybe their life. That person over there needs someone to come up and encourage their marriage. God's nudging all of you guys if you have the Holy Spirit. You're just afraid to act on it. And when we discover who we are and who that Holy Spirit is in us, we'll go as soon as God says go. Like Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. You want to see miracles in your life? Wake up and go, here I am, send me. And then when you get that nudge at Starbucks to buy that guy behind you Starbucks, and you put out the $4.53, and I know that's tough, but then he goes, why'd you do that? You just handed him a sample of the bread of life. And he goes, you mean you did that because you love me? And then he goes, this just happened to me. I said, yeah, I love you, dude. And he's like, isn't that kind of weird for a guy to love a guy? And I said, well, that's kind of cool, really. I said, I love you in a way that God loves you. He said, who's God? This guy was older than me. People are out there right around you that are hungry. And then pretty soon I was able to lead him to Christ. Now, he doesn't live in this state, but I guarantee he's in church this morning. All it took was a $4.53 that God nudged me and said, buy it for him. Now, I don't know what God's nudging you to do. Kid at school, maybe it's pick up someone's tray off the cafeteria thing and go clean, you know, clean the whole tables. Tell everybody, I got the table. You all just go. Go. I don't know if you play anymore, but whatever. Hey, y'all go play in the playground. I got you. You know, that might be the little kids. I don't know what it is. But if God is nudging us, Donna, especially if we have, that's what the Holy Spirit is in us. He's a guide. Uh-huh. Right, I see what you're saying. Well, if you've never received Christ, if you're a sinner that's hellbound, I don't believe that you can live in an amazing life. In other words, I don't believe that you can live a life that God has for you, because until you receive Him and until you go through these chairs to get to here, I think you're going to have a life of chaos and a life of confusion, because apart from Christ, there is no direction or structure. There is no truth. See, the bread of life is the only thing that I know that is absolute. Nothing else is absolute. Nothing. And so until I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, like Stacy asked, and I have a personal relationship with Him, I don't have any absolutes. I'm not going to know what to believe. I'm not going to know what to do. I'm not going to know any direction. I'm not going to know God's will. I'm not going to feel any nudges from God to do anything special for people or anybody else. And remember, why I told you that story is because we're here to build believers and serve others and serve explorers. Serve explorers. So if God is nudging me, if I don't have the Holy Spirit in me, Donna, I don't know the absolute truth about anything. Therefore, I can't function where God can bless me. You have to confess with my mouth, that's right, that Jesus is Lord. That's right. Right. You're not able to live this life on your own. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, since all of us have fallen short of God's glory, In order to see God's glory, we must confess. And it goes like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm in this chair. I know I'm bad, whatever that bad is in your life. I had a little thing I was going to say. I just don't think I can. I was going to say something that, you know, really shock you, but not really. But I'm just bad. And Lord, I know I'm bad. And so since I'm bad, Lord, I need you to come into my life and wash away this sin out of my life. And Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior and become a baby Christian. I want to be a person that is eating daily from the bread of life and learning at a church that serves the bread of life, the inerrant Word of God, not made up stuff. And as I grow, Lord, I want you to help me become a mature Christian so that I can reach other sinners. Lord, I invite you and receive you, and I surrender to you in my life in Jesus' name. That's what the Bible says to do. And then when we do that, we're saved. And that's a big word that means we went from this chair to that chair. It really means we went from this chair hellbound to heavenbound. And a lot of churches, listen to me, have stopped right there. You got your ticket to heaven, go away. We got to, you know, you're done. You're not done. You're not done until you get there and until you're doing that. That's when you're mature. We can't drop the ball at that chair. We've got to get to the mature Christian and be fed and go to the dinner table and eat the Word of God and invite other sinners that were just like us to pray that prayer. That's our job here at Santan. That's what we are about. All right? Yes, Dusty. Uh-huh. Well, we believe that the whole Bible... Right, right, right. No, I believe. Yeah. Right, right. No, we believe, like Paul said, it says in Corinthians, the whole Bible, even Paul, and I preached on this last Sunday. I use the Old Testament a lot. Today I'm preaching out of the Old Testament. I believe that the whole Bible is alive. And the whole Bible is a living Word of God. The whole Bible is effective. I love the Old Testament. I'm an Old Testament guy. I love the Old Testament. We believe that the Old Testament and the New Testament are all in the Bible. We don't separate it. and we preach out of the Old Testament. And Paul says this about the Old Testament. The Old Testament is there to give us explanation, to give us stories, and to give us things to look at so that we can help apply them in our lives today. Don't ever discount the Old Testament. It's great. The Old Testament's written in picture form. Yeah, Hebrew is very pictorial, if you will. But we do believe the New Testament as well and the Old Testament. Now, we believe that Christ, because of Donna, because of Christ, and because of his resurrection, and because of the New Covenant, and I did a whole series on Sunday nights a couple years ago where I did the Davidic Covenant, the Abrahamic Covenant, the Palestinian Covenant, and then the New Covenant. They're all very important to us, especially as we draw near to the end times, Dusty. It's very important that we understand them. But the Old Testament is there for us to read and study. I read it as much or more than I do the New. But the whole Bible is inerrant. The whole Bible is important. We do not have the Apocrypha and things like that. I don't want to confuse you with that. That's kind of a Catholic Bible. But we have the Old and the New Testament. We believe them. We follow them. And we believe that they are inerrant, which means Holy Spirit written. God breathed. That's a good question. Okay, go ahead. I don't say it that way. With salvation, as far as what we believe about salvation, that's kind of a way I've heard it in the past. But I believe that if you were ever saved, you're forever saved. A lot of people have a head knowledge of who God is. I don't believe that's salvation. Salvation, Donna, if you're still here, comes from the heart. And so we believe that when you're truly saved, if you were ever truly saved, you're forever saved. Meaning that if you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, and I've debated this, I even have a disc I could show you I did on the radio, I did a debate. I just believe that God would never let you, once you really, truly surrender to him, he's going to protect you, and you're his. But a lot of people, I think, Kathy, think they know God, but it's a heartfelt thing. It's got to be from your heart. So if you were ever saved, we believe here that you were forever saved. Okay? That's a good question, and that's a topic that'll last until Jesus comes. That's a tough one, but that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. And that's the key word. It's a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. It's when I surrender all. I love that hymn or whatever. Is that a hymn? I surrender all. Okay. When I surrender everything that I have to God, that's a real deal. That means when I... And not just my own opinions or what I want to do, but I surrender everything to God. That's cool. Let's see. Right in front of Donna? I can't see it very good. Lizzie, there you are. The question is what if you're saved but you don't do anything to work at your faith? That's a really deep theological discussion that I would say is this. I preached on this a few weeks ago out of 2 Corinthians. I believe that when you're truly surrendered to Christ, that means you're saved. That's kind of the same word. Totally surrendered, God, saved. And then if you say or claim that you're surrendered and saved, but then you absolutely do no deeds is the word we use instead. I mean, works and deeds are the same word. If you have no fruit, no deed, no work to show you're saved, 1 John would question if you really are saved. The book of James would question if you have a true conversion, a true conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of people that say that they're saved, but then repent it's the actual word in Greek of 180. So if I'm going this way as a sinner, I receive Christ and surrender, my life will and should reflect another direction. So if it doesn't, Lizzie, I would say that we really need to check ourselves and our salvation, because God, John 16, and all throughout the Bible, that's just the first verse I thought of, he will show us the truth and we'll do it. Okay, right behind you. Well, it's probably a lot deeper discussion that I can go into right now. Like I said last week, you can change your feelings with an aspirin. But if you don't feel like you're saved, in other words, you're struggling, there's a lot to that, because the enemy will attack you immediately when you are saved. And that's why you need to go from this chair to this chair. A lot of people, I believe, get to this chair and then they just sit there and they really don't, you know, they really don't eat of the table. They don't partake of what God's word. They don't, kind of going to Lizzie's question, they don't work at what God has showed them to do. They never get people to this chair. They don't pray. They don't read the Bible. They don't share. They don't witness. They just kind of say, I got my ticket. Now I'm good to go. That's a scary place. But Stacy will help you with that, because I know you're a youth. I can see you back there. Kathy, go ahead. That's right. Yep. That's right. Yeah, that's a great, I think Kathy put that very well. And Kathy, it's like this, what you just said. We get him to hear, Satan is going to attack us. And we're going to hit a wall. And then God's going to nudge Kathy to come to me and say, hey, Pastor, I think you're doing okay. Or, you know what, or he's going to go to Cindy or whoever. I'm just looking at people out there. And God's going to tell you to help get through that. That's where I want you guys to go from here to here. A mature Christian senses the Holy Spirit and says, hey, Mike, here's $100. Or, hey, whoever, I love you and I'm for you. Or encourage, whatever your giftedness is. Let me make a statement that might shock you. I'm your pastor, all right? Everybody know that. I have often, in the last 5 years, questioned my salvation, but I've never questioned my call to be your pastor. You'll have to go home and unpack that. I don't know what that means, but I'm just being honest with you. So I know what you're saying. I know. Because sometimes there's times where I'm going, why didn't I do that nudge? Am I really saved? I mean, I could have really helped that person from committing suicide. And I knew it, and I didn't do it. And then I sit there and go, God. But all of a sudden, then God says, but Billy, you know, yep, stay the course. Press on, and then, you know, Vic comes up and hugs me while he's cleaning my pool, and then I feel good again, and you know what I'm saying? But that's how it works. Does that make sense? Kurt, you know what I'm talking about, because you're a chaplain. You know what I'm saying? We go through things where we go, I'm so miserable, and I'm so wretched, and then all of a sudden, but God says, but I called you, brother, go get him. And you gotta get after it and stay with that. I look out, and I see all these, you know, I see John and many of the other pastors. You guys know what I'm saying. The devil comes to do that. Go ahead, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Right. 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 Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It's all about the meal. It's all about the Word of God. That's what it's about. I think, what time is it? All right, one question. We got it, then we're going to pray. Donna, what'd you have?
At any time. Yeah.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yep, that's true. Yep. Yep, that's right. Well, I encourage you to be back next week. I'm going to help equip you, and I'm going to show you which chair you're in. You're going to help decide with that, and we're going to do that. Also, we are having baptisms today, and if you're here today and haven't been baptized, come speak to me or Stacy. We can do that today. Go ahead. Go ahead. Amen. That's a great point. Great point. Stay in the Word because it's all about the meal. Praise the Lord. Stacy, what do you got? Okay, real quick. Stacy, come up and just kind of give your role. Shannon's next door, and I think Heather is too.
Sure. I'll be really brief. I've just had a lot of people ask me, Stacy, what do you do? What's your role as a pastor here? And I see that it's kind of three things. One is with students to help equip them to share their faith to in their growth process. Caleb will talk this week. I'm subbing for Mr. Gomez again, so we'll talk. It's cool. So that's one. The second is with families. Technically, my role is pastor to students and families. I'm finding myself more and more sitting down across from tables and on couches and talking with family units and just dialoguing about what it means as a family to sort through issues and through ideas. And that's really my heart, is to help you grow as a family. Parents, it's not just to put a Band-Aid on the issue with the students. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is really an associate pastor role to just kind of be, and I told Billy last night, just to kind of be his errand, to hold his arms up and to come alongside him and to support whatever that looks like, whether that's with the building team, Ed, as we've already talked, or whatever that looks like, to be a pastoral support to him. So just so that you know, I've had that question a lot. Stacy, what is it really you do? What is your role here? I kind of see it in those three things. So just a lot of people ask me. Trey's going to pass around the bucket. If you don't mind, just dropping your card with your name and email in it, and I'll pray for you. And we'll continue to worship. God, we love you. We come to you this morning just thanking you for this time. Lord, thanking you for the call that you've put on Billy's life and the call that you've put on my life. And Lord, just the call that you've brought this body of believers together as a family. God, we recognize this is your church. It's not ours. You are the head. And we ask that even right now from this moment, Father, that we would be a light in a dark community. God, that you will allow us just to be Jesus with skin on to everyone we come in contact with this week. And God, as we continue to dig into the Word and continue to grow, God, that you would just be very clear to show us those areas of our lives that we need to turn over to you. God, if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't have a relationship or a walk with you, would you make that clear to them? Or would you just convict them of that need and allow them to seek someone out this morning in order to know what it means to know for sure that they have a walk and not only eternal security, but the abundant life that you want us to have here on earth. God, I thank you just for my brothers and sisters and our church family, what they mean to me. Lord, just remind them that they're loved by you today. We love you and pray these things in your holy name. Amen.